biggest fight my wife and I ever had actually happened when we were dating. It was before we got married. The Lord was testing us. And there was a time where, I don't know if you know me, my wife Kaylin, we're both competitive people. Both, I won't want to say former athletes, but you can look at me and tell me it may be a bit of the former. We discovered we both loved a video game called FIFA. Both loved FIFA, which is a soccer game. And she's a soccer fan, I'm a soccer fan. And we decided, you know what would be fun? One weekend, we were a long-distance couple. We only got to spend the weekends together. What would be fun is if we had a World Cup soccer tournament. And so she picked some of the teams, and I picked some of the teams, and we did up this whole big tournament. We're going to spend all weekend playing together. And then I don't suggest this for your marriage one day or your relationships, but then some trash talking commenced. And she started to let me know that there was no way on God's green earth that she could be beaten at FIFA. She was the best. And I said, I played FIFA a couple years ago, and I think I still got it in me. And so the trash talk escalated a bit to the point where, okay, well, the loser will buy the winner a soccer jersey. And in case you're wondering, I was working as a middle school youth pastor at the time. I realized my trash talking had taken me to a place financially that I didn't love. Soccer jerseys are not cheap, in case you're wondering. And so we drive down, we get some pizza, we go up, we start playing the video games, and I win the first match. Say, okay, we move on to the second one. I win the second match. We play the third match. I start to win the third match handedly. And in case you're wondering, this is not going well for our relationship. And so I do something that makes matters worse. I start trying to let her win. I've learned a lesson. Never, ever do that again in our relationship. And because we had planned this whole weekend around it, it's getting out of hand. I'm like, if you know anything about soccer, I'm like taking the nation of Malta and beating Brazil. Just things that are absurd in the soccer realm that should never happen. And my wife is not happy. And my wife and I, when we fight, there's no words exchanged. It's like ice cold tension in the rooms. Like we're about to solve global warming problems with the ice cold tension we got between us. The Eskimos be coming down and cutting up the tension between us and building a mansion igloo, okay? It's like that for the weekend. I'm like, this is not good. So we did something that has now really benefited our 8+ years of marriage. We do not play FIFA together. Never again. Absolutely not. Okay? And maybe in your relationships, maybe your friend group or your coworkers or your marriage, you've had the biggest fight, right? And maybe your story sounds funny now, or maybe the biggest fight you had is something you can't even talk about because it was so bad. But our words matter. Our words matter. I want us to look at James chapter 3. Because when we start talking about being a companion caliber person, the series we're in is being a companion caliber person. Last week we talked about it matters who you surround yourself with to be companion caliber. This week we're going to talk about what you say matters to be companion caliber. James chapter 3, verse 2 says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. That was the point where we could all just be a little honest and say amen. Okay, some of y'all still with me. I'm sure online, I'm sure Hiawassee, y'all got me. You said amen there. For we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes huge ships turn whenever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. Man, James, in case you're wondering, is like one of the most blunt people to ever get to write a part of the Bible by the grace of God. James, in case you're wondering, is the guy who will tell you exactly what he's thinking. There is no sugarcoating it with James. But man, the power of the words he's saying makes such an impact. At this church, we believe all of us, if you follow Jesus, you're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to make an impact. And James says the words we say matter so much to the impact we're going to make. You think words don't matter. Some of you still carry wounds and scars from something somebody said to you 30 years ago. Words matter. Like the person who said, sticks and stones will never break my bones, or will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm convinced that person only had friends who were mute. I'm like, what are you talking about, bro? Words will never hurt me. Lies. James would call him out in a heartbeat. Our words matter. They can make grand speeches. They can turn the tide. They can get movement started. They can do all kinds of amazing things. They can lead people to the Lord, but they can also be a negative influence. They can make a negative impact. And as I'm sitting here talking, some of you are already gonna get real uncomfortable because you're perceptive. Just like you figured out I'm a former athlete, you kind of know where this is going. And you know maybe some of the words you've been using may not be the best. Look at what James keeps on saying. Verse 7, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds. In case you're wondering, this is off track. I've always wanted a pet owl. I don't know why. I think that would be amazing. I come home. Some of y'all got like your pet dogs. I'm going to come home and I got like a pet owl just staring at me up on my roof. And he's like, what's up, bro? Welcome back home. I've been keeping an eye on things. And like rotates his head. Praise God. I don't know if that's possible, but apparently James thinks I can. I'm going to be working in my free time on my pet owl. Okay. You can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or grapevine produces figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. You start working in business, people are going to figure out real quickly by how you treat and talk to people. Your business owner, how you talk to your customers and your employees, says a lot about you. I came out of business, in case you're wondering, this is your first time here. I came out of the business world, was working in business for several years before I came on staff here. And I subscribe to this idea that the customer is not always right. In case you're wondering, if you've ever worked with the general public, this is where you say amen. I do not believe the customer is always right, but listen to me. When you work in business, how you handle yourself always should be right. How you treat people should always be right. The customer may not always be right, but you as the person working there or even business owner, how you handle yourself should always be right. That should be the phrase. The customer's not always right. I've met some people who are absolutely crazy. They're absolutely loony. They're not right. But how I treated them, that's on me. That's on me. How do you treat people in the workplace or maybe your family life? It's interesting to me that he says, man, we'll show up on Sunday and we'll praise God. We'll sing along with our awesome worship teams and we'll just praise God. And then come time for lunch, when the food takes too long because there's only two restaurants open in the entire North Georgia and we don't like our waitress and the drink just take too long and we start getting snippy and snappy, we're like, praise Jesus. And then we got some choice words at the restaurant. James would look you in the eye and go, what's wrong with you? James would not hold back. He said, what's wrong with you? How do you praise God and start cursing people at the same time? Parents. He'd be like, how do you come and praise God and then belittle your children at home during the week? Kids, how are you going to praise God and then go home and disrespect your parents? We're going to praise God, but we're going to just absolutely belittle our spouse. We're going to praise God, but we're going to worship or gossip about our friends. James is like, that's absolutely wrong. Man, if we're going to be companion caliber people, James says the words we choose matter so much. The words we choose matter so much. You may have shown up today and you're like, man, there's some ice-cold tension between me and so-and-so. And maybe it's your spouse because you all didn't talk. You were tuning up the radio a little bit. Like, well, let's just start praising early because we ain't got nothing nice to say to each other. You show up right now and the Eskimo's following you in. You're like, man, this church, man, these people, just praise God. Ice-cold tension everywhere. Working away. James, like, the words you choose matter so much. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, if you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to praise the Lord, the words you choose matter so much. They matter so much. Look at Proverbs 16:24. Proverbs 16:24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. I've worked with people for a long time, and I've heard messages on these verses, and some of you guys are tuning me out because you're like, I know all this stuff. That's great. Praise God. But here's the one thing I don't hear talked a lot about is the words you use about yourself matter. The words you use about yourself matter. You start talking about yourself really negatively, you're talking about somebody who was created in the image of God. You start talking to yourself negatively. I can't do anything. I'm good for nothing. I've got no talents. God can't use me. You're made in the image of God with a plan and purpose. If you start talking so negatively about yourself, one, you're doing the opposite of Proverbs 16:24, but two, you're helping feed a belief that God can't use you. You keep speaking so negatively about yourself, you'll never step out in faith and do the things God calls you to trust in him, to be used for the honor and glory of the Lord, because you don't believe it could happen because of how you talk about yourself. I've worked with people long enough to know some of the thoughts that rattle around your mind over and over and over again are so negative, and they're holding you back from accomplishing why God has you on this planet. To bring honor and glory to the Lord, we have to watch how we talk about ourselves. And this idea of false humility, I have no talents, I'm not good at anything, I'm never going to be good enough. Does that sound like how God talks about you? Or does God look at somebody and say, if they'll submit, if they will follow me, if they'll repent, if they'll turn from their ways, I can work through that person. I mean, we look at people he called to follow him, people like Paul, who declared himself the worst of the sinners. People like Peter, who would end up denying him. I mean, Jesus has seen a lot of things, and he still called those people to follow him. If we have this idea and keep speaking so negatively about ourselves, you won't step out in faith to say, God, I believe you can work through me. I'm going to trust in you and not myself. False humility is absolutely toxic. Humility is believing that God has created you in his image. Humility is believing God has given you talents. Humility is believing you have those talents for the glory and honor of the Lord. That's humility. Where it goes sideways is when we're like, man, I am good at stuff. I am fantastic. I kind of am the best. And we just start telling ourselves all kinds of sweet honey sounding things, but it's not for the Lord. It's for ourselves. And false humility doesn't protect us from that. So I want to encourage you, you need to be real careful how you talk about yourself, because you were made in the image of God for the glory of God. And we've got to talk about ourselves and say, hey, I'm here to serve the Lord. I have a purpose. I have a plan for my life, and I want to follow the Lord in all of my ways. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your care for me. I love you. Our words matter. How we talk to other people matters. Dr. John Gottman. Anybody heard of Dr. John Gottman? Oh, sweet. That means I got some stats that people don't know. Look at Pastor Phil out here doing some work. Some of y'all thinking I'm out here doing nothing. I got some stats I'm going to drop on you. Dr. John Gottman has been working for years on research when it comes to relationships, healthy relationships. And he found something super interesting. Healthy relationships, he said, after all this research, healthy relationships have a ratio of positive to negative interactions. He said, all the healthy relationships I looked at here, there's a positive and negative correlation between interactions. He said, healthy relationships, some of y'all are going to want to write this down, don't look at your spouse. We talked about this last week, don't do that. He said, healthy relationships have 5 positive interactions for every 1 negative interaction. He said, healthy relationships, whether it's your friendships, your dating life, your coworkers, whatever, your marriage, your parent to child, vice versa, all healthy relationships, 5 positive interactions for every 1 negative interaction. And then he went further. He said, inside of marriages, what the data shows is the healthiest marriages, he said, their ratio, 20 positive interactions for every 1 negative. And some of y'all just spent the 1 negative reaction looking over at your spouse when I told you not to. You better be putting in some work getting those 20 positive back. 20 positive interactions for every one negative in the healthy relationships. And I may be 33, I may be married for just over 8 years. But man, I've listened. The reason I believe my wife and I have such a great marriage is simply we listened to mentors. We listened to people who've been doing 20, 30, 40 years. A lot of the things I share in marriage is not from my 8 years of experience. It's what I was taught by people who've done it a lot longer than me. But man, if you want to build 20 positive interactions to every one negative, it takes two. It takes two. You want to have a healthy marriage, it takes two people committed to building those positive interactions between each other to every one negative. Dr. John Gottman keeps going. I can tell he's a man of the data. He likes the research. He comes out with the next stats. He said, after looking at all the data across the country, 50% of first marriages end in divorce. 50% of first marriages across the country end in divorce. And he says, the data continues, 78% of second marriages end in divorce. 78% of second marriages end in divorce. But this is the stat that's going to blow some of your minds. Dr. John Gottman looks and he says, the data shows that less than 1% of couples who pray together end in divorce. Less than 1% of marriages where the couple prays consistently together ends in divorce. That's staggering when you hear the other stats. The difference between 50%, 78%, the words we use in prayer matter. The words we use to pray with our spouse matters. I got given advice before we got married. I was asking some people I looked up to. I would just go around, and if you're going to get married, you're dating, I would encourage you to do this. It paid off dividends. I went around to people and just started asking them, hey, what's one thing? What's one thing you would tell somebody getting married? And somebody looked at me and he said, we close out every day praying together. He's like, it's not long, it's pretty short, but we close out every day praying together. And it's changed our marriage. It's really hard to stay mad at somebody that you're consistently praying for. It's really hard to stay mad at somebody you're consistently praying for. That works with a coworker. Works with your friends, works with your spouse. Really hard to stay mad at somebody that you're consistently praying for out loud. You want to talk about there's some ice cold tension in the room between you and a friend, or you and a spouse, or you and a coworker. You want to change the tension in the room. You both sit there and humble yourselves and say, hey, we're going to just take one moment and pray for each other. And it changes the dynamics in the room. The words we use matter, because when you start using your words to pray for somebody, rather than letting negativity roll around in your mind, it changes things. When's the last time you and your friend sat there and prayed together for one another? When's the last time you and your coworker sat there and prayed for one another? When's the last time you and your spouse sat there and prayed for one another? Our words matter. The Bible's telling us that they can deeply affect influence around us. They can be kind honey to the soul and the body. How are you using your words right now inside of your relationships? Are they companion caliber? Our words make such an impact. I remember in the sixth grade, I'd moved up the food chain. I was in the popular crowd in the sixth grade, which I don't know if it's a bragging point or not, because middle school's just a wasteland sometimes, but that's where we're at. I was in the popular crowd in sixth grade, and I was sitting in Miss Duke's class, our math class, and I was starting to discover I may not be as smart as I told myself at an early age. Sitting in sixth grade math class, and over the intercom says, hey, can we have Philip Kite to the office, please? And if you remember school at all, you usually did not enjoy getting called to the office during the day. It's usually not a good thing. Anybody relate? Any of y'all been called to the office before? Yeah, some of y'all in the front row. Okay, all right, praise God. Oh, yeah, I am perceptive as well. I would have guessed. I wouldn't have lost my house on that bed, okay? So I got called up to the office, and we had an Officer Hatton. I got called to the office to sit with the school resource officer. I'm like, what in the world? They call me in. The reason I got called in is because I've been making fun consistently of one of my fellow classmates. One of the reasons I got popular is I realized my wit and humor, if I used it to belittle other people, people really like that. I've been using my wit and humor to belittle this fellow classmate so I could move up the ranks in the social circles. And he'd gone to the school cop because it had gotten so bad. I remember sitting there thinking, man, like, who am I? Who am I that I'm sitting here, like, I go to church, like, I know this isn't how I should treat somebody. I came back to the classroom after the resource officer explained to me what I was doing was wrong. And I proceeded to watch like 10, 15 of my fellow classmates get called out one by one to the office to go meet the school resource officer. Because not only had I used my words to make fun of the fellow student, I'd used my influence to lead all the other students to do the same. And one by one, we got called out. Sometimes we don't even have the influence we think we do with our words. But the ripple effect will never leave me watching so many of my friends get called because of what I was doing. Your words matter. How you treat that coworker, how you treat your friends, your spouse, your children, your words matter. And if we're supposed to praise God with our words, then the rest of the week, our words should line up. Our words should still be praise to the Lord worthy. Galatians tells us that what flows out of us, if we follow the Lord, if we have Holy Spirit inside of us, and everyone who follows the Lord has Holy Spirit inside of you, in case you're wondering, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, and then this one the Lord's really been convicting me on, self-discipline. Or yours may say self-control. You know, I don't think self-control is like compartmentalized. I think it's meant to be every area of our life. Self-control, whether it comes to my eating, how I spend money, how I use my words. If we follow the Lord, what's supposed to come out of us? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's right. Sometimes all of us, we use really good words until emotions start to happen. And then it's like a different person talking to us, like we got the wrong PR hire. But the Bible says if we start following the Lord, what should grow in us, even when emotions and things happen, even when the customer isn't always right and they got things to say, how we handle ourselves is always supposed to be right. We follow Jesus, there's supposed to be self-control that exists as well. With the words that come out, we can't say there's fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, and then our words don't match that at all. And I want to encourage you, sometimes what this message gets taken as is, well, then I can't ever, you know, challenge anybody. I can't ever correct anybody. If you've been coming to Vertical, do you really genuinely believe that none of the messages here challenge people? You can challenge people out of love. I've watched way too many Christians try to be right and instead be a jerk. Because I don't care how right you are, if you don't treat people the right way, the Lord's not going to bless that. Sometimes we got to redo how we talk to people. Because you can correct people. The Lord does it all the time. I've read the Bible. The Lord is full of correction. But he does it because he loves. And man, when we come from a position of I love, it changes the words we use. It changes the tone we use. Changes maybe how much prayer we put into that conversation before we have it. Because, man, everything we do should honor the Lord. It should point people to Jesus. We're supposed to have the influence to point people to Jesus. And I've not always been great at that. One of the things I struggled with a lot over my life and still sometimes do is tact. Tact. I may struggle with that from time to time. Maybe you do as well. Your filter isn't always fully developed. You can join in with me. We'll start a club working on our tact. Because, man, if we follow Jesus, the Lord's continually working on us, right? He's continually changing us to be more like Jesus. And as long as we have a humble posture and a humble heart, he'll continue to work on us. He'll continue to develop us to bring honor and glory to the Lord. So I want to talk about maybe three reasons, man. If you're struggling with your words, struggling how you talk with people, I want to go over three reasons why that may be happening. Three things you may want to talk about with the Lord and say, hey, God, is there something kind of going on in my heart that I need us to work on, something I need us to really kind of maybe see some growth spiritually in? Is one of the reasons that we talk to people the way we shouldn't is a lack of respect. I see this happen a lot between people. Is once respect is lost, it's like the filter is gone. We start talking to people the way we shouldn't, man. I was a youth pastor for years. Students, can I talk to you? How some of you guys talk to your parents. Once you lose that respect, the way you talk to them is not okay. I mean, the Bible's clear we're supposed to honor our parents. Parents, I mean, if you don't respect your kids, though, you say some things to them maybe you shouldn't. You lose respect for a coworker. You start saying things you shouldn't. You lose respect for your spouse. You start saying things you shouldn't. Lack of respect can lead us to using our words in wrong kinds of ways. Like we talked about, a lack of self-discipline. Now, I look sometimes and see people who they're really super kind people, but then something just switches in them when the emotions get going and they say things they would never normally say. As we follow Jesus, self-discipline, self-control is supposed to be growing in our life, and that means our words as well, how we talk to people. Because, I mean, if it takes five positive interactions to balance out every one negative, how we use our words really matter. Some of us got negative equity in some of our relationships. Relationships that the Lord would love for us to be used to point people back to Jesus, but we can't point people back to Jesus because people can't get past the way we talk to them. And that the Lord will hold us accountable for. And the last thing I see sometimes, and we could go on and talk about this forever, but sometimes I see people talk the way they shouldn't is because it's just a lack of love. It's just a lack of love. And sometimes before we have certain conversations, we need to pray and say, God, I need you to help me love this person. It really helped me when I was in ministry. I would look up to this man. His name is Don Bray. He's 80-something years old. He has followed the Lord more than I have. When I meet people like that, I always ask, like, what's one thing you would tell somebody in ministry? What's one thing you would say to always work on? He says, before you have hard conversations, you need to pray. Before you have hard conversations, you need to pray. And you need to ask God, what do I need to say? Because a lot of times in our mind, we got the right thing to say, but it's not the God-given thing to say. And if we're willing to love people around us, sometimes it takes time to pray. Sometimes it takes time to make sure, hey, I'm going to operate out of what the standard that God has called me to is to love my neighbor as myself, and that means I need to just take a moment to pray. That's okay. Sometimes we don't need to say the first thing that comes to our mind, right? At least tactless feel sometimes. The first thing that comes to mind is not always the best thing to mind. Some of y'all with me on that, if we're honest. As we close out, I just want to ask, how are we using our words? Because I genuinely believe God wants to work through us. I genuinely believe God wants to work through us to make an impact in our communities. I genuinely believe he wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to share the good news that Jesus, even in this year, wants to change people's lives. People who are struggling with addictions and doubts and shame and guilt and thinking God can't change their life, but he can. And the words we use deeply affect whether or not we have influence in their life. Deeply affect our friendships and our coworkers and our family relationships. The words we use matter. So as we close out, I want to ask that we just spend a moment praying, God, is there any area of my life where I'm using my words that don't line up with you? Is there any area of my life where the words I'm using are not exactly honey to the soul? So as we close out, genuinely take a moment and pray. Because I believe the Lord, when he moves in our life, he'll show us. Because he loves us. He loves us enough to correct us when we're out of line. He loves us enough to bring us back in a relationship. And maybe today's the day you need to use words to start a relationship with Jesus. Maybe today's the day where you finally say the words, Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I ask that you come be the Lord of my life. Lead my life. And you use your words to start a relationship with Jesus today. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Lord, I thank you that we have your scripture. I thank you so much, God, that you love us enough that you continually work in our hearts and our minds and our souls. I thank you, Jesus, that you don't leave us where we're at, that you love us enough that if we'll humble ourselves, you'll continually make us more and more like you, Jesus. And I pray that today we won't be defensive, we won't be dismissive, but we'll be open and say, Jesus, if there's something going on in my heart or my mind that's affecting my words and it's affecting my influence, it's affecting my ability to point people to you, Jesus, affecting my ability to love my neighbor as myself, Lord, please help me. Please help me. Please forgive me. Help me to speak the way you want me to speak. Help me to use my words to point people to you, Jesus. Help me to use my words not to speak negativity over myself, but believe that if I submit my life to you, Jesus, you can do miraculous things through me, that you can bring honor and glory to the Lord through me. So, Jesus, please help us not have walls, not have barriers, but just have honesty before the Lord. May you work in all of our lives to help us be more like you, Jesus. And if we have used our words and it's been sin, we ask for your grace, Lord. Please show us your grace and your mercy. And moving forward, help us to be everything you call us to be, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.